From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Fear Has Its Place. The text is Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. The fear of the Lord is the beginning and the foundation of all true religion. Without a solemn awe and reverence of God, there is no foothold for the more brilliant virtues. He whose soul does not worship will never live in holiness. He is happy who feels a jealous fear of doing wrong. Holy fear looks not only before it leaps, but even before it moves. It is afraid of error, afraid of neglecting duty, afraid of committing sin. It fears ill company, loose talk, and questionable policy. This does not make a man wretched, but it brings him happiness. The watchful sentinel is happier than the soldier who sleeps at his post. He who foreseeth evil and escapes it is happier than he who walks carelessly on and is destroyed. Fear of God is a quiet grace which leads a man along a choice road, of which it is written, No lion shall be there, neither shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. Fear of the very appearance of evil is a purifying principle, which enables a man, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep his garments unspotted from the world. In both senses, he that feareth alway is made happy. Solomon had tried both worldliness and holy fear. In the one he found vanity, in the other happiness. Let us not repeat his trial, but abide by his verdict.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine.
Savior divine, Thou hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. From this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire, as thou hast done.
Darkness turns
This day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 through 13, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples a pattern for prayer, the beloved words we call the Lord's Prayer. The initial phrase, "Our Father, which art in heaven," is a reminder of God's dwelling place. Also, it reminds us of the nature of the one to whom we pray. He is the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God, yet he condescends to hear the prayers of his children. Now to continue this message, Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
The only people who can really, in the full sense of this term, call God their Father are people who, as sinners, have come by faith in God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive Him as their personal Savior, to enter into salvation by receiving Christ. Those people then, in union with Him who is properly the Son of God, can call God our Father. And nobody else. Nobody else. I suppose this is the prayer that's most prayed of all prayers in the so-called Christian world, in Christian churches, and indeed apostate churches as well. All over the world, every week, millions of people pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Perhaps you've done it yourself. And how many of you have really ever had access to the throne of God? How many of you have ever really come by faith in Jesus Christ to know God as your Father, Christ as your Redeemer, and His atoning sacrifice as the answer and satisfaction for your sin? Make sure today that you know the access that there is to God, and you make use of it. Jesus said, "I am the door." Think of that. What is a door? It's the way in to God. I want you to notice Jesus didn't say, "I am a door." No, no. As if He were one way, Muhammad was another way, Buddhism was another way. No, no. Jesus said, "I am the door. There is no other." Now there's the access and the accessibility of God. But as far as you're concerned, what use is the access if you don't go through the door? Where is the use to you of the simple fact that God is accessible to man on earth while you turn away from the only way into His presence? When Jesus says, "Pray, our Father," He is addressing people who have entrance to God because they have come by faith into Christ. And I would therefore start again this morning with this strong emphasis that you men and women and boys and girls must make sure that you have personally entered into Christ. Do not depend on the name of this church or the ritual of the ordinances of this church or any other church. Do not depend on anything but personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, because outside of that, you cannot claim God as your Father. But once you have come into Christ, then you come to this great truth that the God of glory is accessible to us here on earth. It's a wonderful message that the Savior therefore is giving us. That our Father is the Most High God. He is the King of Heaven. And He is the ruler of earth. And He will hear the prayer of us, His children. That's the central message that Jesus is teaching when He says, "Pray, our Father, which art in heaven." Now, in teaching us that, he actually teaches us many lessons about prayer from the transcendent greatness of God. You may think I'd got to preach. Actually, I hadn't. Almost all that I've said so far, I hadn't intended to say, so I haven't even got near what I want to say. And therefore, you have cause to be concerned. I don't think I'll get to deal with all these today, but I do intend to set before you a series of lessons that the Lord teaches his people about prayer from the thought that our Father is the great God, the high God of heaven. The very first lesson is, when you pray, you say, "Our Father which art in heaven," lay hold of the absolute sovereignty of your Father in heaven. The words "which art in heaven" are words which indicate total, complete, absolute, unbounded, uncontained, illimitable sovereignty. What does God say about himself? In Isaiah 61 and, or 66 and verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." What I love about the scriptures in which God speaks of himself and his relationship to the world is how it puts down the pride of man. This opens up a whole area of discussion that I can't really get into today. But any gospel, this is my chief criticism of the modern versions of, or so-called versions of the gospel. I have to say of them what Paul said of a perversion in his day. This is not the gospel, it is another gospel. It's not a gospel at all. Any so-called gospel that sets out to make sinners feel good about themselves and come to some self-realization and some sense of self-esteem and self-acceptance is not a gospel at all. I can't see it. I want you to understand this. When God starts making himself known to men, the first thing he does is to put them in their place and to make them feel the greatness of God and the guiltiness of man. It humbles the pride of man right down into the dust. God says about the earth, with all its wealth, with all its wonder, with all its men, with all its might, with all its countries, its armies, with all the great things that men are so proud of, he says, "The earth is my footstool." That's what God says. He's talking about his sovereignty. In the 115th Psalm, we read, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Total sovereignty. Now let me be absolutely frank with you this morning. When it comes to explaining many of the details of what is going on in the world today, neither I nor you nor anybody else has an answer, except God does what he pleases, and what he pleases is good and right. When I think of all the evil in the world, all the tragedy in the world, all the suffering in the world, I have to realize that this is not the world as God created it. This is the world as it's fallen. Ruined, marred, and scarred by the willful wickedness of man, with the consequent judgment of God. I have to realize that. But when it comes to the working out of all the details of the sovereignty of God and the purpose of God in all the actions and even what we call the accidents of life, there's none of us can say, "I have the scheme worked out." Why? Because God is infinite.
And only God can understand what he's doing. I've often given you the illustration of the old English Bishop Handley Mole. Others have taken what Mole did. I think it was Handley Mole was the bishop concerned, but he was a bishop of Durham, I think, and that was a mining district. And he was faced with this. You talk about the sovereignty of God. God does whatever he pleases. Well, here is a terrible mine accident. The deep shaft had collapsed. Hundreds of miners were trapped inside. The families rushed to the pit head. The tears were flowing. The anguish was awful. When the bishop arrived, people wanted to know, what's the meaning of this? How can you talk to us about the sovereignty of God and the love of God when we see this? Explain it! And he had to confess to himself, I have no explanation. Until he saw one of the old women had brought her sewing with her, her embroidery really. And he went to her and he said, give me that for a moment. And he took it and he held it up to them. He said, what do you see there? You see a tangled mass of colored threads on the backside of this. You can see no pattern. You can see no beauty, no purpose, no skill, no thought. It's just a tangled mass. But let me turn it round. And from the other side you see a picture of great beauty, wrought with great skill. Then he started to tell them the message of the gospel. There's so many things in this life that we look on and they're just the loose ends of incomplete actions. We don't understand them. Could we but look from God's side, let me tell you, the picture would be complete. He's utterly, absolutely, totally sovereign. Jesus is saying, when you pray, keep that in your mind. Keep that in your mind. It is one of the great strengths, one of the great sustainers of God's people when they pray, when they're passing through the deep waters of this life's experience. When every prop is kicked away, when they don't know what is happening, when they have got to say, like Jacob, all these things are against me. When they have got to say, what on earth is going on? I can't understand. And I don't know that I can endure much more. It's one of the great strengths that's open to God's people, that they can come to a throne. Where sits the God of glory, who is working all things after the counsel of his own will? And it is a tremendous source of peace just to confess, Lord, I do not know what is happening. I cannot work out all the details. I cannot understand the purpose of God. But I know it's the purpose of my Father that is working out. That's why Paul could say, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Does that mean to say a Christian feels great when he loses his child? No, it doesn't. Does it mean to say he feels wonderful when some great tragedy overtakes his home or his family or his business or his body? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that in the midst of all those perplexities, he can come and he can say, this is not what the critic tells me. a meaningless thing. This is one of those threads I'm looking at from the back side of the picture. But from God's side, it's a thread in place, forming part of a pattern that will bring everlasting glory to God and everlasting good to me. All things are working together. It's not meaningless. And all things are working together for good to God's people. Why? Because the purpose that works them out is the purpose of our Father.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.